Larry Mode.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County, deep in the mysterious Ozarks and Mid-America. This is Prophecy Keepers Radio. And our guest today is Dottie Daigle, a member of the Wolf Clan of the Cherokee Nation. Well, I understand that we're going to be talking about our common teacher, John Red Hat, today. John was a really beloved elder of the original Kituwa Society, a member of the Longhair Clan.
Yes, he was a member of the Cherokee Nation in Salacourt and of the Southwest Township here in Albuquerque, who are affiliated with the Cherokee Nation.
Right. John was telling me that the townships are a constitutional part of the Cherokee Nation.
Very good.
And that they still adopt people, and that you're one of these adoptees into the Wolf Clan.
He said, what individuals do is they drive
that's
the car right from
the it's like a ceremony when they have to have a quorum of 10. I think in there it's 10 adults that we had. I think in the Jewish it's 10 men, but we had 10 adults.
Right.
And so we had an adoption ceremony, and it worked out very well.
Well, how did you come to know John?
John,
hello, everyone. This is Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County, deep in the mysterious Ozarks and Mid-America. This is Prophecy Keepers Radio. And our guest today is Dottie Daigle, a member of the Wolf Clan of the Cherokee Nation. Well, I understand that we're going to be talking about our common teacher, John Red Hat, today. John was a really beloved elder of the original Kituwa Society, a member of the Longhair Clan.
Yes, he was a member of the Cherokee Nation in Salacourt and of the Southwest Township here in Albuquerque, who are affiliated with the Cherokee Nation.
Right. John was telling me that the townships are a constitutional part of the Cherokee Nation, and that they still adopt people, and that you're one of these adoptees into the Wolf Clan.
Yes, I am. And that's a good thing. We had, it's like a Jewish ceremony when they have to have a quorum of 10. I think in there it's 10 adults that we had. I think in the Jewish it's 10 men, but we had 10 adults.
Right.
And so we had an adoption ceremony, and it worked out very well.
Well, how did you come to know John?
Well, John and I worked together. He was contracted for working for the government on the same project that I was, except I was civil service. And we were designing software applications for computers for BLM, Bureau of Land Management. Worked together in the same system.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, let's see. I've been retired now for 10 years, so it was more about 5 years prior to that. What was that like in 1995, something like that.
Something like that. So,
a long time.
Well, what, I know John passed away on the 30th of December. And I know that while he was alive, he felt very much constrained, like many elders do, but that he wanted certain things passed on after he passed away. It's because of the political realities nowadays, I guess it's just easier for elders to wait and make their statement after they have walked west and or ride in the wind than it is to put up with the slings and arrows from their own people.
It could be, but he was in warrior mode so much of the time to break down the corruption in some of the Cherokee tribes and to bring them to a good place, to bring back ceremonies of the Cherokee people. That's what he and Dr. Gillihan really felt strongly about, that they needed to help the Cherokee people bring back ceremonies. Bring back the spiritual part of time. Over the last couple months, I guess. Got the message that Red Hat was weak. And so he thought, well, maybe it was going to be that he was going to be going out and speaking. And he thought, well, I really don't have very good health, so I don't know how I'm going to be doing that. But he started brushing up on his charity because he thought, well, okay, if Red Hat is going to speak, then maybe more fluent in charity. So he was studying that. That's what he spent a lot of his time on the last few months.
So Spirit told him he was going to be speaking, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I know he didn't make a move unless Creator told him what to do. He had a direct connection with the Creator and heard his voice.
It seemed like the veil was so thin between him and the other side, between him and Creator. And they were guiding him so much. So then he told me, I was writing a book about his teachings already, but it had a different title on it, and so then he thought about it, and thought, well, maybe Red Hat's secret was not necessarily going to be him going on in his teachings, but he thought maybe it was going to be a book, yeah. So then he asked me if I would change the title of that book, Red Hat's secret, because that's what he had
from. Well, I guess, I know I've seen him, shortly after he passed, and he came to me and indicated he was going to be backing us up in what we were doing. I know the traditional elders, and he was a traditional Ketua Society elder, and felt very much constrained for a very long time because of family infighting and the political realities to be very verbal, but I think he finally decided that the messages were just too important to not get out, and he knew the realities of the prophecies, and had also been adopted by Chief Mike of Oribe, which is the center of Hopi culture, and was thoroughly versed in Native prophecy. He knew, and he knew exactly where we stood and what the stakes were, and wasn't afraid to speak out.
Yes, that's true. And the Hopi, that was a very important part of his work. And it appears now that the Hopi are again going to be in the spotlight. That time will tell on that. I think most of the Hopi prophecies have already been fulfilled.
Yeah, they certainly have. They certainly have. So,
John wanted to get that book out, Red Hat Jesus, because it was his message. He wanted so much to help the Cherokee people and other people. So, one of his favorite chapters was in the Bible was Isaiah chapter 66. And that speaks of the coming judgment. And it says, it's because I called and no one would answer. I spoke and no one listened. They have done what I regard as evil, have chosen what is sacred. So yes, John believes the judgment is coming, that the die has been cast. There is nothing that we can do to stop this anymore. The great purification that the Hopi spoke about and prophesied, and that is very close.
Yeah, Scotty, I know he really did believe that, and I do too. I think most people don't bother to read their own, you know, their own scriptures, whether they be Jewish or Christian or whatever, much less paying attention to Native prophecies. But the Ketua origin story very clearly pointed out exactly where we stand today. And the saddest thing about it is that the vast majority of people I know that claim to be Cherokee really have no idea of what it means to be a Cherokee. And I knew John knew exactly what it meant to be a Cherokee, and it was the business of his clan anciently to teach people who were aliens or adoptees or people that came into the tribe what it meant to be a Cherokee. And that's the reason why I wanted to have you on. And I know that was the main thrust of Red Hat Speaks, the book that you and John wrote together.
Well, it was John, he had been teaching me so many things over about the last 10 years that so many people had asked me if I would put these into, write them down every so that they would be lost. And so that was the purpose of Red Hat Speaks, to write all these teachings up so that they could be shared with other people so they wouldn't be lost. It's like so many of our elders are passing away, the Hopi, the elders, John, I can't remember the name, something like that. They are all passing away. The new generation doesn't know the things that the elders do.
Dan Kachangwa of the Sun Clan.
Right. And so that was the purpose of our book, to write these teachings down so they would be preserved. And to help the Cherokee people come back to being Cherokee, because they have lost so much. They have forgotten community. Back in the 1800s, when the Cherokee Nation, when they existed, I believe it was in Oklahoma, they had Indian territory, so the Indians, the Cherokee, didn't each have their own land. They all lived with all the land in common, and they had their own homes, but they shared as a community. They shared helping each other, supporting each other, and taking care of the children. It was done as a community, and they were there for each other. And now they too, along with the white man and other races, have gone to single family type of dwelling, single family thinking. And it's like the elders, when John got sick and couldn't live by himself, I moved in and helped him. I moved in with Elder Red Hat to help him because he could no longer live by himself. And that's how the Kachua Society is. When someone gets older, or for some reason they can't live alone anymore, they don't move them into a nursing home or something. They have somebody move in with them to take care of them so that the elderly can live in their own home. They respect the elderly. They really care about them. Whereas the white culture now has moved so far into separating. The inconvenience of having an elderly person around, they put them into a nursing home. And it's not all, so we find ourselves now, the people have to work maybe two jobs just to keep a family going. And they have found that they can't. They can't take care of an elderly person anymore. And that's part of what we have lost, so much of what we have lost. The community, the all things in common, the working together. And I think in what's coming, I think the Great Purification is coming. That's what Elder Red Hat talked about a lot. And that's what he prepared for. That the only way people will survive is when they start to help each other. And different people in the group can contribute different things. Whatever their talent is, that's what they can contribute. Some have food, some are spiritual leaders. Some can take care of children or take care of the elderly. They have all these different things, teachers. So he wanted to help the Cherokee move to that arena, to where they could start forming small communities and start helping each other.
Well, I know he was a very traditional in his thinking in many ways, but this was a man that spent 28 years in the United States Air Force and retired as a full colonel. So, you know, it wasn't like he lived in a vacuum. He knew exactly what was going on in the world, and if anybody knew where the threats were coming from, it would be someone who had worked in the Strategic Air Command and had worked at Cheyenne Mountain like John had.
Those times were before my time, so I didn't know John at that time. I only knew of him since we started working with the Department of Interior. Part of the time our job went with directly under the Department of Interior because it was modernizing all the land records for BLM, the mining claim records, where the government had a hand in DC. And we did put up a system in Alaska, and apparently they're still using it from the last I heard. Another lady and I went up and installed the system. That was a different experience.
Well,
I was much into bringing back ceremony for the charity.
Well, I know he was very concerned because you know, in the old days, you know, if you didn't know what clan you belonged to, you simply weren't Cherokee. And Cherokees are so far from being Cherokee now, they have no idea just how far they are. And, you know, the old prophecy says that it would be the Cherokees that would lead the rest of the Indian nations back to the Great Spirit. And if that's true, well, you know, we're all in a lot of trouble because since John and I talked about it, he said since the end of the Civil War, the Katua Society has been unable to fulfill its duties because of all the infighting that went on inside the families, especially after Redbird Smith's death, and you know, at the turn of the century period, Redbird Smith was. A very similar situation to Yukiuma of the Hopi, where Redbird was fighting allotment of land. He wanted the land to remain in common rather than go into severalty. And he was imprisoned for a while, as Yukiuma was. And they resisted allotment. They resisted enrollment. And but after coming out of prison, you know, Redbird said, well, you know, there's no use fighting it.